For now, Kyler Murray is in the NFL draft. That might change. That might be a different story a couple of weeks ago or weeks from now. But for now, he is NFL draft bound. And according to Todd McShay's latest big board, his presence in the NFL draft doesn't look like it's going to affect the Arizona Cardinals too much right now. He's got Kyler Murray as the 24th best player in the draft right now.
Now, I believe he has him as the he has Haskins as the first quarterback on his big board at number 11, Dwayne Haskins. And I don't think he has another quarterback in there until you get to Kyler Murray at 24. So he has Kyler Murray as the second best quarterback in there. So that gives you plenty of room. And by the way, he has N'Keal Harry from ASU at number 31 on his big board. So he's got N'Keal Harry at number 31. Number one on his big board is the guy I think the Cardinals will take with the first overall pick if they don't trade the pick, and that's Nick Bosa, the defensive end out of Ohio State. And then he's got Quinnen Williams, the defensive tackle out of Alabama, Devin White, the linebacker from LSU, Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive tackle from Mississippi State, and Greedy Williams, the cornerback from LSU, rounding out the top five. Two quarterbacks on his big board. It is interesting. He's got Murray as the second best quarterback, but he's got him ranked number 24, which, like you said, that's not going to play any factor in the Cardinals' decision of what to do at number one.
Now, obviously, as you've stated many times, the minute these quarterbacks start throwing footballs through tires, we call them the underwear Olympics, the pro days and the scouting combine and all that stuff, things will change. Man, I'm just noticing this for the first time looking at this big board here. The first offensive player on his big board does not check in until Dwayne Haskins at number 11. It is
defense.
Defensive end, defensive tackle, inside linebacker, defensive tackle, cornerback, defensive end, outside linebacker, defensive tackle, outside linebacker.
So glad the trend's going offense.
It's not until you get so this idea that Cliff Kingsbury is suddenly going to impact how the Cardinals draft. I know we're just basing this off a big board, but just based off of this big board, it is so defensive heavy in this year's draft. The first offensive player that McShay even has rated on his big board isn't until number 11. And it's Dwayne Haskins.
So I had a thought today as I was looking at this big board, and I see him at 24. And 24 is not that far away from 30 or 31 or 32.
I know where you're going with this.
What if he doesn't get drafted in the first round? What if the Cardinals, with the first pick, what if a team says, you know what, I don't want to give him $15 million or $20 million. It's not that big. I don't know if he'll make it. Loves baseball. I don't know. I'll take him in the second round, but I'm not taking him in the first round. So we've talked all along about the Cardinals. Can they trade the first overall pick, right? Can they trade it? You would need somebody like a Haskins or a Murray or somebody to play so well and just kick ass so badly that some team is desperate to get him at number one. Right now, today, it does it based on – this is based on big boards. This isn't based on combines or workouts or anything like that. It doesn't look like there's a guy there. But what if Murray falls to the second round? What if nobody drafts him late and he falls to this? Because a lot of those teams picking late don't need a quarterback. You know, a lot of those teams that are picking late aren't going to take a quarterback. Some could. I mean, I could see New Orleans or New England taking a quarterback. Then, okay, I'll take you. I got a couple years left of Breeze and Brady. But some of those teams that are really good, Kansas City's not taking a quarterback. The Rams aren't taking a quarterback. Philly's not taking a quarterback. So a lot of those teams aren't going to take Kyler Murray. What if he falls to the second round? Well, could you get a windfall for him with the first pick in the second round?
Kind of dovetails into an idea we had towards the end of last week, right? That the
pick alone.
That the movable pick that you have might not be the first pick overall because there's no quarterback, you know, worth going up to get. The movable pick you very well might have is that first pick of the second round. I mean, you went and looked at the draft last year. What was it, like the first five picks of the second round, the first six picks of the second round?
It's a lot of movable.
All got moved. If Kyler Murray goes undrafted in the first round, I think it's kind of a marriage of our ideas. It's a marriage of that second round, that first pick in the second round is very movable. If Kyler Murray is available with the first pick of the second round, it's very, very movable. Now it becomes a hot commodity because now if you're a team that wanted a quarterback, that needs a quarterback to develop, and you didn't get one in the first round, what's long been my theory about quarterbacks in the NFL draft? If you don't get one by halfway through the second round,
don't
you're not that good. you're not that good, because usually by the time you get halfway through the second round, the desperate teams for a quarterback have already taken one. If they haven't taken you, you're probably not that good. That would be the second best possibility for the Cardinals, is if Kyler Murray goes undrafted in the first round and is available for business on day two.
Let me go with the last few picks in the draft, because there are one or two teams. Green Bay Packers have New Orleans pick. Is Green Bay going to take a quarterback?
Could.
I doubt it. Aaron Rodgers is going to play for at least three more years.
Probably not.
Kansas City Chiefs?
No.
Rams?
No.
Patriots?
Maybe.
Chargers?
Maybe.
Colts?
No.
Raiders?
Maybe.
Eagles?
No.
That's like from 25 on. So it would be a team that has an older quarterback. So when you look at the end of the draft, a team that could take Kyler Murray is a team that has Brady or Breeze or Rivers. Or maybe the Raiders, who have, you know.
If the Raiders don't take one with one of their previous two first, because they have three first round picks.
Right.
They don't. So they have an option to take one earlier in the draft if they wanted
to. But you get to Philly's not going to take one, and Kansas City's not going to take one, and the Rams aren't going to take one, and Green Bay's not going to take one. I could see the Chargers. I could see, the Patriots. I could see New Orleans taking one. But Kyler Murray's not playing next year. You might sit for 2 years.
Yeah.
You might literally sit for 2 years before you play.
You had said yesterday when we were talking about Kyler Murray that, hey, when you've got a choice like this, I just want to know, what does he love? What sport does he absolutely love to play? Adam Schefter said Kyler Murray loves football more.
I think the NFL believes that he wants to play football. They believe that he likes baseball but loves football. And he used this past year as a testing ground to see how he would do against top-rated competition.
Now, Todd McShay yesterday raved about Kyler Murray.
He struggles in terms of the physicality of it. He doesn't like getting hit. He's always sliding and running out of bounds. And that's, it'll help him in the NFL. It'll help him stay healthy, hopefully. But I also think he's electrifying. I think he's the most special athlete at the quarterback position that I've seen, at least since Mike Vick.
Tim Hasselbeck, a former quarterback, said on ESPN that the size thing doesn't matter as much.
Quarterbacks, people have always said, hey, quarterbacks come in all different shapes and sizes. And while that was somewhat true, I think it's starting to become really true.
I mean, if he's 5'10", that's a lot different than 5'8". So if he's 5'10", and quarterbacks come in all shapes and sizes, and we've seen smaller quarterbacks play well, I mean, there is a question of how many hits is he? He rushed for over 1,000 yards, so the kid runs the ball too. I mean, how much can he take? I mean, Lamar Jackson ran the ball a lot. How long can he last if he's going to run the ball a whole lot? The kid's a tremendous athlete, but I do want to go back don't regret your decision. And it's hard when you love two things. They may love both sports, but sometimes you got to make a decision. What's going to make you happy? And what is going to make you happier? You got to be happy in life, right? You got to be happy. So what's going to make him happier? Playing baseball, playing football? Because he's going to make a lot of money either way. He's going to make a lot of money if he plays baseball. He's going to make a lot of money if he plays football. He'll be settled. He'll have a nice house. He'll have a nice car. He'll have money in a bank. He'll be good. I don't know if he's using this football thing to try to get more money out of the A's. It looks like it's a possibility
that he could
get on the 40-man roster and get more money. It also looks like that maybe this football thing is real. And, hey, you're a first-round pick. And if you're a first-round pick, somebody believes that you could be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I looked at Todd McShay's big board from exactly 1 year ago.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity. He had Sam Darnold 2. He had Josh Rosen 3. I'm just looking at the quarterbacks here. Some of the names are interesting, but I'm just looking at the quarterbacks. He had Josh Allen 14. He had Baker Mayfield 19. And for what it's worth,
and that was this time last
year. This
was year?
January of 2018.
Baker Mayfield was 19.
Baker Mayfield was 19.
See how much the combine changed?
And he ended up as the number one pick in the draft. And he's got Dwayne Haskins.
And the games were over.
Games are over.
Nothing he did in college, the games were over.
Nope.
Now that's him. I mean,
of course, it's
other
just,
teams
just,
may evaluate him as the top quarterback.
Sure. By the way, he had Christian Kirk number 23.
The Cardinals, I believe, thought Mayfield was the best quarterback in the group. And then I believe they had Rosen second.
UFC Fight Night is coming to Talking Stick Resort Arena on Sunday, February 17th. We're giving you the chance to win tickets. Go to the rewards page at arizonasports.com for complete details and to enter. It was supposed to be this two-horse race the entire season. Now it has turned into a runaway. So did the Suns screw this one up? We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show. ESPN NBA Midseason Awards. Rookie of the Year in the NBA. Do you even want to know?
Oh, I know.
I know you know.
I know. He deserves it.
I was speaking more kind of generally to our audience out there. I mean, it's we all know it's Doncic, right? It's the percentage. It's the number, right? That just, wow, look at that. 97.7% of the voters on ESPN.com, and I'm assuming this is like their media experts or whatever, right? Is this their, like their Jordan, is this like their NBA experts who voted on this panel?
Their panel of experts.
98% of ESPN's panel of experts says Luka Doncic was the rookie of the year in the NBA over DeAndre Ayton, who only got about 2.3% of the vote.
Well, he is right now. I mean, he is. I mean, what Doncic has done has been, I mean, nothing short of spectacular. His court vision, his scoring, his passing. I mean, he's just been absolutely sensational. Now, not that Ayton hasn't been good, because Ayton's been good. And when you look at some of Ayton's numbers, I mean, they're outstanding. Like, his numbers are outstanding for what he's done. But Luka is literally playing out of his mind. And he's an all-star now. Like, I mean, if you hear what Steve Kerr said about him, if you hear what, you know, what everybody says about this kid. I mean, they're just raving about how great Luka Doncic is. And, you know, I don't know if that brings back the debate. Should they have drafted Doncic instead of Ayton, and which way they go? I still believe that they should have taken Ayton, but there's no question. Like, what the one thing we know right now is that Doncic is not going to be a flop. He's not going to be a bust. There's a lot, you know, there's always this theory that with the European players, you're always worried that if you take a European player, you may end up with a guy who, you know, doesn't make it, that he's, you know, he's really good in Europe, but the game in Europe's not the same. It's not as good as it used to be 10 years ago.
Right.
And there were some knocks on Doncic coming out. I mean, there were knocks on him. I'm trying to get to my scouting reports. He was definitely, I remember those scouting reports that I got, said he's definitely worthy of being considered for the number one pick. And it were things that he did really well, his ball handling, his shooting, his court vision. You know, the question on him more was just, is he mentally stable enough to be a great player in this league?
I see over there flipping through your notes.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the reports that I have.
If I remember right, it was questions of whether he was emotionally tough
enough,
whether he was too emotionally fragile to handle playing in the NBA. There was a question of obviously his lack of athleticism and whether he could, you know, keep up with some of the best athletes in the world, in the NBA. You mentioned Kerr. You mentioned Barkley. Here's Kerr yesterday.
It sure looks like an all-star. So he, whether he makes it or not, he's an all-star. You know, certain guys just stand out. You see what they do. You see what they mean to the game. And if he doesn't make it this year, he's going to make it soon enough.
Charles Barkley on TNT last Thursday.
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Hope that's a strong limb.
He should make it though, Doncic.
I'm looking at the list, Ernie, looking at all the teams. I think Doncic will make the All-Star team.
He should.
Not just by the fans either.
Now, Kenny Smith challenged Barkley on that.
Right now, they have the second worst record.
He's playing great though.
In the NBA.
But I'm saying,
West.
You're taking
him over. So, you know, obviously Anthony Davis is a 20th.
Anthony Davis is in.
Right.
Let's talk about just the guard.
We're talking about guys who are in
Doncic's front court.
Minnesota. Memphis, Minnesota.
Yes.
Sacramento, Utah.
Yes.
And San Antonio. So you're saying, no, the Spurs.
No, Doncic has played better than
LaMarcus Aldridge and
DeMar.
So they went round and round about that.
Rookies usually can't help a team win right away. So the fact that Ayton's team's not winning and Doncic's team is not winning is not a direct reflection on them. It takes time. I mean, it takes time to win. Nobody's really ready to win when you come into the league as a rookie. I mean, that's why these teams' record is bad. But here's the things that I had on Doncic. I want to, and this like scouting report, I mean, this isn't from like some service or anything. This is from the people that make the decisions in the NBA. The good things they said about Doncic were this. dominated at age 18, did things in Europe that no one has ever done. Talented, skilled, can shoot, can dribble, can pass. The negatives were he's not athletic and he's very immature, not emotionally prepared, you know, that entitled. Teammates didn't like him. But it did say considered, should be considered for the number one pick. He should be in discussion for the number one pick. It's not ridiculous that he could be the number one pick. That he was likely to go somewhere between 1 and 4. Now, the team that may have made the mistake more than anybody is not the Suns, but it's Atlanta. Because Atlanta traded Doncic to go get Trae Young and another pick.
Right, yeah.
So I don't think I blame the Suns for taking DeAndre Ayton. Ayton's a good player, and I think he's going to be very, very good for a long time. I don't think I fault the Suns. I think if you're Atlanta, you might be looking at yourself saying, okay, we had him, and we let him go because we traded him. So it wasn't like the Suns picked 1 and Dallas picked 2. Atlanta's the one who could. You know, I would think Atlanta made more of a stake than the Suns did.
I think they both made him. I think Doncic has the potential to be a player that every team that didn't take him, whether it's Atlanta, whether it's the Suns, whomever it might be, has made a mistake. That if he is truly that transcendent of a talent, right? If he's truly that good, it doesn't matter whether it was Atlanta, it doesn't matter whether it was the Suns. Any team that had the opportunity to draft him and didn't, I think could be just as culpable and just as guilty as the others for passing on the guy. And look, it's way too early in the process to be able to make these judgments. We all know that. Doncic is off to this unbelievable start. What it's starting to look like, though, and I think this is what maybe has some Suns fans nervous, is that DeAndre Ayton could very well be a very, very good player. Doncic looks like he's on his way to being a very great player.
Sure.
Right? And that's
like one of the best players in the league.
Okay, you got a very good player in DeAndre Ayton, and who knows, maybe a couple years from now we'll look back and say you got a great player in DeAndre Ayton. It looks like right now the Dallas Mavericks have a great player in Luka Doncic, one that will be a great player in this league for many, many, many years to come. And that's the rub, right? That's what irritates you. If you're a Suns fan or if you're in the Suns front, it's not that you didn't get a good player. You didn't get a great player.
But you don't know if you didn't get a great player.
DeAndre Ayton
does not have a true point guard with him right now, so nobody to get him the ball. He's got a rookie coach who's trying to figure out and it's a young team where Dallas has more of a veteran team, and they have a veteran coach, and Doncic has the ball in his hands, unlike Ayton, who is completely reliant on other people to get him the ball. But if you remember this, and I was just looking this up now, so Atlanta traded their pick at number 3 for the number 5 pick, and they got a lottery-protected first-round pick coming up in 2019. So it's lottery-protected. So Dallas is going to be in the lottery again. So they don't even have to give their pick to Atlanta this year because it's lottery-protected. So they moved down a couple of spots, Atlanta did. They got Trae Young instead of Doncic. And they'll get a first-round pick eventually from the Mavericks, but they're not going to get it this year because the Mavs are going to be back in the lottery. I mean, if we're looking at teams that made a mistake, I mean, I would tend to think Atlanta. Ooh, you could have stayed where you were at, and you could have had Luka Doncic. Instead, you got Trae Young, and you got another first-round pick that who knows where it's going to
be. Yeah, I think they both made a mistake. I think you're just saying that to make me feel better.
Oh, no, I know.
The Suns made a mistake, too.
You think they made a mistake?
Well, I mean,
because just a second ago, you said you're way too early to tell.
Well, no. I mean, if Doncic ends up being great and DeAndre Ayton just ends up being good, I think any team that didn't take Doncic will be just as culpable as the other. That's what I'm saying. I think that it's you're right. It's too early to say that Ayton isn't going to be great. It doesn't feel like it's too early to say that Doncic is going to be great.
He could be an all-star right now.
I mean, it doesn't like.
He could be 19 years old. Could be an all-star.
It is. It is too early to say that Ayton won't be great. Can't be great. He could be. It kind of feels like Doncic is already
there.
There.
Yeah.
He's already arrived at his destination.
But I do think that having played in Europe is much more of an advantage than having played in high school and 1 year of college.
Yeah.
So there might be time for other guys to catch up.
He's a candidate for the Cardinals offensive coordinator's job. But months ago, John DeFilippo was considered a top head coach in waiting. what happened as the Cardinals consider this offensive coordinator hire. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show. This time a year ago, he was interviewing for the Cardinals head coaching job. Now, he has interviewed for their offensive coordinator's position. No decision has been made. He's not employed right now. An odd time for John DeFilippo as we try to figure out what's next for the Cardinals in assembling their coaching staff. And joining us right now, somebody with a little insight on what happened in Minneapolis with the Vikings when it comes to DeFilippo, Mike Zimmer, and the Vikings. Joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, ESPN Vikings reporter Courtney Cronin here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Courtney, I'm Dave. This is Gambo. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thanks for coming on with us for a few minutes. What, from your perspective, what exactly happened in Week 14 between Mike Zimmer and John DeFilippo that caused him to be unemployed?
Well, I think the Seattle game, everything kind of just came to a head. Really bad performance by the Vikings offense. That's Kirk Cousins. I mean, when you're leaving Adam Thielen wide open downfield because you're turning around to throw a ball 2 yards behind you to Latavius Murray, that's not play calling. That's the quarterback. So I think that, you know, on top of kind of the meshing of, or they're trying to mesh offensive philosophies and they're not really seeing eye to eye. I mean, Mike Zimmer started publicly critiquing the offense really around Week 7 when they go to New York and put up 37 points on the road to the Jets. And so he's saying they're not running the ball more. So Zimmer wanted to be more balanced. DeFilippo was trying to work around, some hindrances on offense, you know, with Kirk Cousins and his ceiling and in a very leaky offensive line, a run game that couldn't get going because of the offensive line. And because of the fact that Dalvin Cook wasn't healthy for, better part of, good part of the first half of the season. So they struggled there. And I think that, down the stretch after the Bears game, when there's too much volume allegedly in the offense, and then, New England, the usage of Dalvin Cook came under question again. It all boiled over into that really bad performance that we saw on Monday Night Football in Seattle.
We had 2 years before that, Norv Turner didn't work for Zimmer, and now DeFilippo didn't work for Zimmer. Is there any thought that maybe it's just really, really hard to work for Zimmer if you're an offensive guy?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly is something that people bring up, especially because he's a defensive-minded coach. He wants what he wants. He wants balance, which in today's NFL is not something that, is all that talked about as, a necessity to win in this league. I mean, you take a look at the top four scoring teams in the NFL, all four of them are playing in the conference championship weekend between the Patriots, Saints, Chiefs, and Rams. So, I mean, there are a lot of teams too. All those four teams are teams that don't necessarily need to be balanced to do really well offensively. So I think that it's part offensive philosophy and not seeing eye to eye on things. I mean, but with what Mike Zimmer wants, I mean, he's the head coach. It's his prerogative to decide, how he wants his team run. But I do think that when you take a look at the big picture here, Zimmer's been incredibly successful since he got to Minnesota in 2014 because the basis and the mentality of these teams are defensive-minded teams. They, he wants to win games by the offense doing just enough and controlling the clock. And controlling field position to make the defense's job easier. So that being said, I think it is something that you have to take into consideration when you're looking at, the entire body of work since 2014. The fact of the matter is Mike Zimmer's had two offensive coordinators leave in the middle of the season, one who was fired and one who left on his own via resignation. So that comes into play. But with a guy like John DeFilippo, I just don't think it was the right fit here in Minnesota, really from the start. I'm not sure that the melding of philosophies really happened. But he's still, a very much well-revered offensive-minded head coach. And, it's come into the fact that he's had two interviews for offensive coordinator openings within the last week.
Yeah, and we're chatting here with Courtney Cronin. She covers the Vikings for ESPN. She's our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Cardinals on Sunday, and Gambo was the one who reported that the Cardinals interviewed John DeFilippo for their vacant offensive coordinator spot. That's kind of leading into the question I was going to ask you. I mean, in some ways it's a dumb question because he's still unemployed right now, but how much of his future stock was damaged by getting fired in week 14. I mean, this time a year ago, you would look at John DeFilippo, and if you were even a casual NFL fan, I think you'd think, okay, that guy is a rising star in this industry. He will be a head coach in no time at all. And here he is just trying to find an OC job with a team that has a play-calling head coach as it stands. How much of a hit do you think his stock took with what happened?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, he was one of the, up until about, you know, week 12, when they beat the Packers, they put up, you know, over 400 yards of offense. They finally get the screen game going. Dalvin Cook gets a touchdown. Kyle Rudolph's involved. You know, his name at that point in the season was very much, okay, if they can keep things, you know, rolling here, you know, split between the Patriots the next week and, you know, try to sneak a win on the road in Seattle, then he would still, I think, very much be in the mix for a head coaching job. But I do think that what happened in Minnesota hindered him, because you fire your offensive coordinator going into week 15. That's the biggest news in the NFL. That's not something that you can hide and just kind of hope that the news cycle continues on and that he can just kind of, you know, go and go with the fray at that point. I mean, I think it certainly took, you know, took a lot out of what he had accomplished at that point. And that's not to say that he won't be a head coach someday. I just think that, you know, the way that things happened here in Minnesota and the discourse that we heard from the head coach, I mean, you never heard John DeFilippo say anything bad, you know, or try to counter anything that Mike Zimmer was saying. I think that he took, you know, took his lumps, essentially, and dealt with it the best he could in Minnesota. But it definitely hurt him, and it hurt his stock, because I know that there were several reports that came out, I believe, ahead of the Lions game in week 16 that really, you know, confirmed that he was no longer a head coaching candidate.
Courtney, was there any, and I can understand maybe he didn't get along with Zimmer. Zimmer wants to do it his way. He wants to run the ball and play good defense and be conservative on offense. But was there ever any friction between him and Kirk Cousins? Was there any friction between him and the offensive players? I think that's important, because if the Cardinals do hire him, he's not calling plays here. That's going to be Cliff Kingsbury. Yeah. He's going to be an offensive coordinator that's probably going to have his biggest role will probably be developing and mentoring a young quarterback. How is his relationship with the offensive players, especially the quarterback?
Yeah, and that's something, it's a good point that you bring up, because I've spoken with several sources close to, you know, the situation with where Flip could potentially end up. And I don't think that calling plays is necessarily the end-all be-all for him. Would he be able to do it in Jacksonville? Yeah, but do you want to potentially go to Jacksonville and what could be a one-year situation and have to uproot your life again? I mean, that to me is the downside of that job. But, you know, if he does get the job in Arizona, no, he's not calling plays, but he gets to do what he's been really, really good at throughout his career, which is developing young quarterback talent. I mean, truth be told, I mean, it all started with Derek Carr years ago when he was, you know, a rookie with the Raiders. And then he, you know, got to Cleveland and he had a really weird situation there with Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel, but then, you know, found his bread and butter of, you know, being able to turn around, you know, really develop quarterback play when he got to Philadelphia, you know, moving Carson Wentz from year one to year two, and just seeing the strides that he made there, I think were really impressive. So that's something that I would keep in mind when, you know, talking about him for the candidacy of the Arizona job. But to, as it relates to, like, Kirk Cousins, I mean, he and Kirk spent a ton of time together. I mean, John is a quarterback guy. I mean, he was a quarterback himself. That's a position he understands best. He's worked with them throughout his career. You know, 12 years in the NFL kind of speaks for itself. So I think that that's something that, you know, really can't be ignored. I mean, he, you know, Kirk Cousins, I think when you look at the big picture here, as to whether, you know, Kirk cost people his jobs. I mean, I think that that's possibly something that you could say when it comes down to it, because, you know, like I said, all the play calling in the world won't change you from turning around and throwing a pass 2 yards behind you because you're seeing ghosts in the pocket. I mean, that's not play calling. That's on the quarterback. And I think that John did everything he could to get the most out of Kirk. He, you know, tried to scheme around some of the weaknesses that this team had on offense, some of the injuries that had to deal with. And I think that he really did earn the respect of his players in doing so. But you also, you know, when on the other side of that, I mean, once the switch was made to Kevin Stefanski, you did hear players say, okay, well, things are more simple now. Things are, you know, we have a different grasp of stuff under Kevin Stefanski. They're going back to stuff they did in 2017 that seemed to work. So I do think there was a little bit of a divide there, but certainly nothing where the players didn't respect him or didn't respect what he was trying to do.
Courtney, we appreciate the time. As always, thanks for joining us. Stay warm up there, and we look forward to talking to you in the future. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Yes. Thanks, Courtney.
Courtney Cronin joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, CoulterTempe.com, Coulter on Camelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com. Real good info,
good info, especially.
And I liked your question about the quarterback. I thought that was, because if he does come here, that's the gig.
That's the gig.
You're not calling plays. You're not, and that doesn't sound like a deal breaker for John DeFilippo. It doesn't sound like the kind of thing that would cause him to not want this job, especially if he can develop Josh Rosen.
Waiting for the Cardinals to say, you know what, actually, we're going to skip the whole offensive coordinator thing this year. We don't really need one. We may get one next year.
It's Ticket Window Tuesday. It's presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. We're giving you the chance to win a pair of two-day general admission tickets to the Innings Festival. It's coming up at the beginning of March, March 2nd and 3rd. Eddie Vedder, Incubus, Jimmy Eat World, much, much more at Tempe Beach Park. Listen at 4:15 this afternoon to win. He's been fired the last two seasons. That is not stopping one NFL team from kicking the tires on a former Cardinals coach. You will not believe who I'm about to tell you is being interviewed for a job next on the Burns and Gambo Show. I feel like I'm going to pull a Gambo here. Seriously? Like, seriously? No, I swear, when I saw the tweet, I did. I had a Gambo seriously moment when I read Adam Schefter's tweet.
Like, seriously?
That Mike McCoy is interviewing with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Come on.
Are there just not any capable people out there to work in the NFL?
The guy has been fired as offensive coordinator in the middle of the season in back-to-back years.
Back-to-back seasons. And now he's a candidate to be an offensive coordinator again.
At
some point, don't you learn your lesson? At some point, is it like, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. What's the third time?
Fool me three times, you just hired Mike McCoy to be your offensive coordinator.
Okay, Denver got fooled, and then Arizona got fooled. And, what is there a phrase for the third time? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me third time, it's like...
I think that's the phrase. You've hired Mike McCoy. I believe that completes your...
That should be it.
That completes the cliche, yes.
Yeah.
And look, I understand.
We're going to sign you to a six-week contract because we know we're going to fire you. I'd like to do a six-week contract with you.
I understand this time of year, it's hard on coaches. It's hard on coaches' families. I don't want to sound unsympathetic to that. There's a lot of moving around. There's a lot of pulling kids out of school. It's tough. I get it. It's a tough life that you sign up for to be an assistant coach in this league. But that being said, man, I'm reading all these stories on Twitter of all these guys interviewing in all these different spots, and a thought kind of occurred to me about all of it. You've got to be an exceptionally bad football coach to get fired by one team in the NFL and not get hired by another the next year.
Yes.
Have you noticed that? It's all just this regurgitation, recycling. This guy's moving here. That guy's moving there. I saw where Al Holcomb is going to be interviewing for defensive jobs. And not that he did a bad job here necessarily, but it's like just on to the next.
And how about Bruce this morning? Like, all my guys were available. Yeah, because they all got fired. They all got fired.
Yeah, Bruce, I got a reason why all your guys were available. They all got canned.
Who did the Cardinals hire? Defensive coordinator? He was fired. Offensive line coach? He was fired. Running backs coach? He was fired. Like, head coach? He was fired. Like, that's what you get.
Yes.
You just hire guys that were fired.
If only.
It's just like reshuffle the deck. Okay, we're going to just hand out a new set of cards. You get this guy, you get. Every year, we're just going to switch these guys to different teams.
If only we as a culture and society could recycle cardboard boxes and plastic bottles and aluminum cans the way we recycle coaches. You know how better off we'd be as a people? I mean, these coaches just. Yeah, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there. And to me, Mike McCoy...
It's like a cult, almost. You can't get out of it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Mike McCoy was like the ultimate... Really? I mean, he's getting an interview?
What?
Of all the people!
For a coordinator's job!
Of all the people!
Right.
He's not even getting an interview.
Not for like a quarterback's job, not a demotion. Not a demotion, right?
No.
He's interviewing...
For the offensive coordinator
To be the offensive coordinator... for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
It's like
not to be the quarterback's coach or the running back's coach, but to be the offensive coordinator. I mean, this guy got fired by Denver, fired by back-to-back seasons. Before Thanksgiving, this guy was fired. You can't even give him a full contract. We'll give you an 8-week contract.
It's a partial contract.
Yeah, we're going to hire you from now until Thanksgiving. Hey, and that's it.
Here's Mike Garofalo on the NFL Network.
Hasn't made it a full season the last couple of years. I mean, he got fired early in Arizona, but it was just a hot mess from top to bottom just because the coaching staff and the front office were on completely different pages. I don't know how you grade anybody in Arizona from a coaching standpoint, including Steve Wilks, the head coach.
All right, so that's the situation with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Week by week contract? Like, if you do good this week, we'll keep you next week. He's only 46 years old. He's not an old guy.
No, not at all. Not at all. Meanwhile, the situation with the Chicago Bears. So, Cody Parkey misses the potential game-winning kick against the Philadelphia Eagles. The next day, Cody Parkey goes on the Today Show to talk about how difficult it is, but how football doesn't define him as a person. It's just a job. It's not who he is. Matt Nagy, the Bears head coach yesterday, wasn't a big fan of Cody Parkey going on national TV to talk about that missed kick.
We always talk about a we and not a me thing. And we always talk as a team. We win as a team. We lose as a team. And, you know, I didn't necessarily think that was too much of a we thing.
Basically, shut up. You're the kicker. Just shut up. Go home and sulk. We paid you. I think they guaranteed him like $9 million. Like, I think he got a lot of money.
If they cut him, it's like a $4.4 million cap hit and dead money next year. They gave him $9 million.
Right, guaranteed. $9 million.
Yeah.
So maybe he feels like I can say whatever I want.
So I was going
to
say
$9 million to miss a bunch of field goals.
Sympathy for Cody Parkey is somewhat limited when you're talking about $9 million guaranteed. Here's Ryan Pace, the Bears GM from yesterday.
That position is an emphasis for us. Like, I think that we understand we need to get better there. We need more production out of that position. And, Matt talks about it all the time. There's so much parity in our league, so many close games. The kicker position is critical. So we need to get better there, and it'll be an area of focus.
Somewhere, Robbie Gould just smiles and laughs because he's 82.
I've only missed three kicks.
I've missed three kicks since you let me go. All good around here. And then finally in Dallas, as we take a look around the league, Jerry Jones on 105.3, the Fan in Dallas, said if we don't keep Jason Garrett back, if he were available – he would have had five offers to be a head coach in this league.
When I look around at what other teams are doing and trying to do to find their head coach, if Jason Garrett had been out on the market 2 weeks ago, he would have had five offers for head coaching. I know that.
Jared.
And so you've got to look at what your alternative is.
Well, I think he's right.
You think Jason Garrett would have had...
I think he would have had opportunities, sure.
Oh, he would have had opportunities.
No, I think what Jones is saying,
I don't think
you
would have
had
five.
Okay, look who got hired this year. Look at the coaches that got hired. Jason Garrett was...
Who would you rather have, Cliff Kingsbury or Jason Garrett?
Jason Garrett.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh. I don't think much of Jason Garrett, I guess.
No?
No, No. Jason Garrett has been there way too long and has not done anything spectacular enough to warrant me falling all over myself to get him.
13-3 2 years ago, 10-6, 9-7. He's had three straight winning seasons. 13 wins, 9 wins, and 10 wins in the last 3 years. Plus, he had a 12-win season in 2014. 77 wins, 59 losses. I'll take Jason Garrett.
Oh, wow. I just don't think I don't think he's that good. But that's just me. I don't think every team in the league would have wanted him the way Jerry's making it sound. I don't.
But...
different opinions.
Got 9 years as a head coach. He's got a 9-win season, a 10-win season, a 12-win season, a 13-win season, a bunch of 8-8s.
Bunch of 8-8s.
I mean, 77 wins, 59 losses. No, I'll take Jason Garrett.
No thanks. They haven't. When was the last time they played a championship game?
This 1996.
The Suns have been looking for a point guard since the offseason. One is now available. Could a trade be coming soon? Gamble's got the latest info, and he's going to give it to you next on the Burns and Gambo Show.